Hello, everyone. It's time for Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanos. This is episode 280, season 12. Today's date is December 2nd, 2023, and welcome to the show. On today's program, this topic is a little unusual. I'm going to talk about the unsolved case of actress Karen Kupsinant. She was the daughter of that famous columnist from the Chicago Sun-Times, Irv Kupsinant. And she had a brief acting career, and she was murdered. I found this story very fascinating. So I'll get into more detail later on about her and why I find this fascinating. You know, and then I will talk about her. Also, I will talk about my memories of Chicago department stores, their gift certificates, you know, way back in the past, you know, not gift cards, gift certificates. And I think I touched on this subject before, probably last Christmas or the Christmas before. I figured why not? I'll talk about this again. But right now, the program will go into a commercial break. And this program is brought to you by Cool Whip. And this is from 1980, and this is from set at the Tucker Inn, and with Sarah Tucker. And when I come back, I will explain the actress who plays her and the product. So sit back and relax, and I'll be right back, folks. Thank you.
Wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
How about some Christmas cheer, Tucker style?
Look at all those desserts. Could I have some spice cake, please?
Sure.
Date nut cake, please.
That apple pie looks like my mother's, homemade topping and all.
Only I use Cool Whip.
Tastes fresh as homemade.
That's why I wouldn't use anything else.
Can I have some more Cool Whip?
All you want. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas from Tucker Inn.
Happy New Year.
Okay, everyone, I am back. I hope you enjoyed the commercial for Cool Whip, one of my favorite products. that woman that was in the commercial, that's none other than Marge Redman, the actress who played Sarah Tucker. She was in those commercials in the 70s, the mid-70s and the early 80s. She had a great career in TV. She was best known as Sister Jacqueline on The Flying Nun. I used to watch that show when I was a kid, you know, with Sally Field. And she did a lot of television appearances, you know. And, she did a lot of stage work, some movies. And, she was great. She's like a very nice lady. And she passed away on February 2020, and she was 95 years old. Oh, she lived a long life. So, if you want to see commercials about Cool Whip with her, they're right there, if you like. As for Cool Whip, the product that's been introduced in 1966, it's a whip topping. Some it's non-dairy Cool Whip. It's real good, but, you know, when you have real whipped cream, oh, it's fattening. And it's good. But, you know, it's acceptable. You know, you put it on your pie, jello, what else? Pudding. I love pudding on that. It's good. And, it's still around. I remember they made all kinds of flavors like French vanilla, chocolate, the cinnamon, cheesecake, all that. So it's still Yeah, but I like it. It really does. It depends on you know, what's your liking on that. Okay. All right, at the beginning of the program, I mentioned I'm going to talk about the unsolved case of actress Karen Kupsinet and my memories of Chicago department store gift certificates. Before I get started, I have a health update. Yeah. I went to my urologist Wednesday, and everything went fine. I explained what happened. I'm sure he was aware of this. I still take medications. There was a gap of the second medication, Xtandi. I didn't take it from like mid-August to like late September. So it was like a month, almost like a month and a half. And I didn't, because of the insurance, it was something goofy. It's something new. I can't go into it. It's just, it was a pain in the butt. And they were trying to prove, disapprove, and it was a mess. So I just waited for that. And then finally it was approved. And then I resumed taking the medication late September. So I went in, the urologist says, yeah, your PSA went up, you know, it's about 4.6, but it's due to that. Yeah, he thinks it's that. It's probably nothing else. So he says, just keep taking it because that takes effect about 2 to 3 months to really kick in, to work, you know. So now it's December 2nd. And I resumed it on late September. So I feel it is starting to work. I feel that. It's because I'm getting a little tired and a little sweaty. Fatigue, not as bad as first, but I do get tired. But I have a feeling it's starting to work again. So that's great. That's good news. And then I'm going to go see him in March of next year. That's like, ooh, that's a long time. But I'm going to see my oncologist in February 22nd and see what happens. I will take a blood test before I see him. And if the PSA is down, if it's decreased, you know, below 4.6, everything's okay. If it's not, or if it goes up, or it remains the same, then I think my oncologist will suggest trying a new medication. I hope it's not that, but and I guess my urologist, this question, it's very important. I've heard there's so many treatments out there for this disease that I have, the prostate cancer. He says, yes, there are so many introduced, and it's wonderful. You know, not like in the old days, you know, there are new ones. I have a few to choose of, or they choose it for me, which is the best for me, which is great, you know. So that's wonderful news. So above all, I'm doing fine. You know, I've lost a little weight, and I don't eat as much. I'm not hungry. I eat well, so that's good news. The funny thing is, you know, when I weigh myself, I'm about the same, but I don't feel the same. And the way this, you know, and it's goofy, but it's the medication, I think. That's what it is. I don't know. I can't explain it. It's nuts. Oh, well. Okay. Second thing I want to mention. Last week, I went to see Rick Kampfer. He used to work for The Loop. The radio station. He wrote a book called The Loop Files. And there's a picture of me. I met him last Friday. Nice man, you know, and he autographed it for me. And I started reading the first three chapters, and it's wonderful. Oh, if you were a fan of this radio station, you know, back in the day in the 70s, the 80s, in the 90s, this book is for you. It lists all the personalities that worked there. Thank goodness for that. You know, that was amazing. And I remember some of these people, you know, and some behind the scenes, some were DJs. I'm going to read it again today. Hopefully I'll resume reading it because it's a good book. I recommend it. I recommend buying it if you're a fan of this radio station. When you were listening to it when you were a teenager, I did. You know, I listened to The Loop. That was a fun time as a teenager listening to the radio station. You know, in the 70s and the 80s. Now it's, you know, it's gone. I heard it's on satellite radio, or you can get it on your computer. That's fine. It's not the same, but it does live on. But back then it was one of its kind. It's very unique. I'm glad about that. Okay. Oh, so that's it for me. Now I'll talk about what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about actress Karen Kupcinet. Now, you're probably asking me, why are you talking about her? You know, well, for one thing, she was born in Chicago, you know, and she was a daughter of a famous columnist, Irv Kupcinet, you know, from the Chicago Sun-Times. He had his own show, the Cups Show. I did a podcast episode about him and the show, and that was fun to do. So one day I was watching on cable the E! True Hollywood Story, and they did a story on her. I think it was about 1999 about her, and I had no idea about this. And I was like, whoa. You know, I saw the commercials. I got to watch this. Yeah, so I recorded it on my DVR, and I watched this, and I go, wow, you know, this is fascinating. You know, I had no idea. You know, and her Hollywood career was very brief. And, you know, she was very pretty. And so they showed clips of her acting credits. They explained where she was born. Her nickname was Cookie. You know, that was her name. And a lot of people were interviewed about her. You know, the people that were involved in her life, you know, her boyfriend, her friends, you know, and what led up to her untimely death, like that. So I'll give you a biography first, and I'll tell you what happened to her. Okay. So here it is. She was born Roberta Lynn Kupcinet, March 6, 1941. And so she had the brief acting career. And then she made her acting debut in a Chicago production of The Anniversary Waltz. And then she attended Pine Manor College. That's the name of college. That's located in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts, just for a semester. And then she studied at the Actors Studio in New York City. Yeah, she did that. And it was very, you know, that's probably, I don't know if it's prestigious. No idea. You know, and she was encouraged by her mom to go, you know, to pursue her dream, you know, to be an actress. And I'm sure Irv Kupcinet probably supported her, I guess, you know, like that. And one of her first movies was a bit role in the 1961 Jerry Lewis movie, The Ladies' Man. Oh, that movie was hilarious. You know, and you know how Jerry Lewis was. He's like, you know, going nuts and like that. And yeah, she was in that movie. I've seen the movie about one or twice, and I never noticed her in that. I didn't know who she was. And then she starred in a lot of television shows. Okay. But the funny thing about this is that she did some other movies, but she was credited another name. She wasn't credited carrying cups in it. She was credited as Tammy Windsor. Now, I don't know if that's the same person. Maybe it is. We don't know. I guess so, you know, because that's what actors do. You know, they when they get started in the field, you know, they don't go by their real names. They go by their, you know, by their stage names, you know, so stage names. So it might be her. So I guess the first film role she had was, it was a movie called The Wild and Innocent, excuse me, 1959. And she was credited by that. Some of the roles she was in was uncredited. They didn't show that, but she did appear, you know, like for example, she was uncredited in the movie Please Don't Eat the Daisies, based on a TV show in 1960 that starred Doris Day. And she was in that. And also she was Shirley in that movie Little Shop of Horrors, you know, with Audrey DePlante. I've seen the movie about two or three times, and I noticed I got to see the movie again. And maybe it is her. I don't know. Could be. Also, she was also in the Andy Griffith Show, and she played Hannah Carter, and that was in 1960. And it was about a family feud like that. She appeared in the first season, but she was credited as Tammy Windsor. And I looked at her. I think it's her. I think it is. I think so. Anyway, she appeared in other TV shows, Wagon Train, General Electric Theater, The Donna Reed Show. She had a role in a one-season show. It was called The Gertrude Berg Show. You know, Molly Goldberg. Anyone older than me would know that. And yeah, she had a role of Carol. She was in that. And they showed that on Get TV. That's a cable channel. I saw that. She put it on a DVD. And she was in it, you know, and she also, and then she appeared in Hawaii and I, if you remember that show, the Red Skelton show, and then she appeared in The Wide Country, two one-season shows. One is Wide Country. The other one was Going My Way, based on the Bing Crosby movie from 1945. And while Wide Country, she met her boyfriend. His name was Andrew Prine, and I'll get to that in a moment. And she was also in Death Valley Days. And her last TV role was Perry Mason. I watched that the other day. And she, yeah, that was her. Yeah, for sure. And she was pretty good in that. So that was her last role. And that was in 1964. And they aired that about probably a couple months she died. You know, yeah, about 2 months she did that. And so she began dating this actor. His name is Andrew Prine. He was in a lot of TV shows, and there was a problem with the relationship and all that. But Andrew Prine was divorced, and he wanted to see date other people, but Karen wanted him for himself. So you know how that is, and so. Let's say that relationship was very troublesome in the beginning. Okay. So, you know, then she started, she had trouble with her weight. She began taking diet pills. Not very smart, but they do that. And so on November 28th, she had dinner with friends. One was actor Mud Goddard from Lost in Space. He just died recently, about a month or two ago, with his wife, his then wife, and then they took her home. And he said she didn't look good. No, she was acting very peculiar. So they did that, and then a couple people went to visit her. Two guys, and then they went to visit her and they watched TV, and then she fell asleep, and then she woke up, and then they left, and all of a sudden, and then a lot of people felt there was something wrong. They tried to phone her. She did not answer. And so Mark Gardner and his wife went to the apartment and they found her dead. You know, she was lying on the couch. And apparently she died from a drug overdose. But the funny thing about it, that it looked like she was strangled. So someone just, you know, committed murder. And so her death was officially ruled a homicide. Now, this was a mystery. We want to know who did this. Who did this to her? Was her boyfriend? You know, Andrew Prine? They did question him. Nothing. You know, he was cleared. And I think he had an alibi. So we don't know who did that. You know, it's been unsolved like that. And so they were, as the two men, they were, went to see her. They were cleared, you know, they were suspects first, but, and the men were, their names were, it was a freelance writer. His name was Edward Steven Rubin. And the other one was actor Robert Hathaway. They went to see her that. So they were cleared. And so it's still unsolved. So we don't know what happened. Okay, so there was a crazy rumor that it had something to do with the assassination of John F. Kennedy. But it was ridiculous. You know, that was just a ledge. And Irv Kupcinen was interviewed one day on Today Show, and he said, no, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. It's nothing to do with that. You know, I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff because, you know, this happened 60 years ago. So we don't know what really happened. You know, this sounds like Marilyn Monroe, kind of like that, you know. There's all kinds of theories and crazy stuff like that. And so Irv and his wife, Essie Kupcinen, establish a playhouse at Scheimer College. That's located in Naperville, Illinois. And it was originally, I think it was originally on the Sunside, and they named it after her. And it was like that. And I think, she had a brother, Jerry. He was a producer, director and producer. He's sort of responsible for Judge Judy. He did that. Okay. And so he produced a lot of shows, mostly like, reality shows or like the court shows, you know, Judge Judy, Judge Joe Braun, That's Incredible and all that. He passed away in January 20th, 2019, but there's some information that his daughter, Karen's niece, is going to write a book about this. We'll see about that. Okay. Excuse me. So, like I said before, this case is unsolved. It remains a mystery. We don't know what really happened to her. You know, so it's kind of sad what happened to her. It really was. Because she wanted to be famous, I guess. You know. But things didn't go her own way, and that's a shame. It really is. Okay. All right. Next, I'm going to talk about my memories of Chicago department stores that sold gift certificates. Before I do, I'm going to go. The program will go into a commercial break, and the commercial I'm going to play is a Christmas commercial from Carson Perry Scott, and it's from 1993. Yeah, I'm glad I found this. So just sit back and relax, and I'll be right back with the rest of the show. Thank you, everyone.
Got any bright ideas for Christmas? We do. Carson's, our great gift ideas just go on and on. We'll even wrap them free with your holiday purchase. How do you like that idea? Carson's, the right place for Christmas.
Okay, everyone, I'm back. Hope you enjoyed the commercial for Carson's, Carson Beer is God, excuse me. You know, that was a Christmas commercial from 1993. I miss that store so much. It was wonderful. Same with Marsha Fields. Anyway, my memories of gift certificates from those department stores in Chicago were very nice. You know, I used to buy them for my mom, you know, at Christmas. You know, I didn't know what to buy for her. And she usually yelled at me not to buy them. You know how that is. You know, parents say that, don't buy me anything. I have what I need. That is true in some cases, but, you know, but it's Christmas and you have to buy something like that. Anyway, I remember, like, I bought them. The first time I bought gift certificates, you know, from those places, for example, was at Fort City Mall on the Southwest Side. You know, like, for example, JCPenney, Montgomery Ward. I think they sold them. Weebolts. I'm sure Weebolts had them. And I used to buy those. And I bought them for my mom or, like, you all the time. And I always find them on eBay sometimes. You know, some people have kept them. They never cashed them in. And the same thing goes for Marshall Fields. And, yeah, I just found one yesterday. And so sometimes we're like $10, $20. I know it seems relatively small to today. You know, usually you buy like 25, 50, 100, you know, like that. And so a lot of department stores, like especially in downtown Chicago, like for example, Marshall Fields, Carson's, Litton's, Charles A. Stevens, maybe that store, you know, like that. But not just, excuse me, not department stores, also bookstores. I saw one, you know, also Crock and Bertano's. Then later on, they changed into gift cards. You know, time has changed, you know, trying to do away with the paper, you know, for environmental purposes. You have gift cards, you know, and gift cards are still around, you know. And if they're used for everything, you know. And not just stores, but also coffee shops like Starbucks. I've seen them first, Amazon. Now it's Amazon, you know, you can give a gift for that. And but my personal opinion, I love the paper ones, and you know, you can gift wrap them and they come in pretty colors, and you know, the fonts look so cool like that. Oh, those are nice. I mean, gift cards are nice, but not the same like that. And I think I remember the last one I bought, was it a gift card or a gift certificate? I think it was a gift certificate. Yeah, I think it was a gift certificate. It was at Carson's. It was okay at Chicago Ridge Mall. Yeah, no, now it's gone. And I bought one for my mom. And, you know, that was the last time I bought for her. That was like maybe 10 years ago. Something like that. And, yeah, she appreciated it. And because that was one of her favorite stores. She went there all the time. You know, because they had like good discounts, good quality, you know, anything, clothes, you know. She misses that store very much. She really does. Yeah, it's a shame, you know, like that. And, you know, but as for Marshall Fields, you know, with the gift certificates, oh, that was a beautiful time at Christmas, you know, for Marshall Fields. You know, if you get a gift certificate, you buy or buy a gift for someone. Of course, when you go down to State Street and look at the windows, you know, and you also there's Uncle Mistletoe like that. That's a wonderful, lovely tradition. It really is. I might talk about that someday. We'll see. So that's my memories of that. Okay. So I'll do a recap of what I talked about today. I talked about the unsolved case of actress Karen Kupsinet and my memories of Chicago department stores that sold gift certificates. Okay. Before I sign off, I forgot to mention one more thing. You know, I'm still adding people in my group in Chicagoland. And one time I cut out a photo, like a screenshot of, I had like 1,000 people to add. Oh, that was rough, you know, but I managed to do that. Now there's more coming. There's about 200 more. It's never ending. I'm taking my time, folks. You know, it's just me doing this. I have to approve. You know, I'm very happy that people want to join. I really am, you know, but I have to be very careful. You know, and it's growing, still growing. It's amazing. I like that. And so I will continue to do so. Okay. Now, the podcast will be published later on today, and it will be published wherever podcasts are available. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music. Also will be published on my blog at www.vanishchicagoland.blog. Also, it'll be on my, excuse me, I'm sorry, it's the weather. Also, it'll be ready on my YouTube channel. Just do a search, Vanished Chicagoland Stories. People still ask me, where do I find your podcast? Where do I find it? Go to YouTube. That is the most easiest place to find it. Just subscribe, do that on the apps as well, and you'll get notified for a new episode. You can also listen to the past episodes I did. That's a lot. Also, be sure to my social media accounts, Facebook, X, Instagram, Threads, Reddit, and LinkedIn, excuse me. Yeah, so it'll be a while. So it'll be probably this afternoon. It takes time, you know. So that's it, folks. So I hope this is Pete Costanis, your host. Vanished Chicagoland Stories. Thank you for joining me. I had a good time. Excuse for the coughing. You know, I always say that. I think I have a head cold or something like that. And so just everyone have a good day. It's not that bad. It's cloudy, but it's not that cold, you know, because yesterday was rainy and kind of dark and Londonish weather. Yeah, but it's fine. But at least it's not snowing. And it's not frigid, and it's not below zero. So thank goodness. You know, we're starting December on the right foot. I'm happy to hear that. Okay, so here's bye-bye for me, and here's a little traveling music from Ray Rayner saying bye bye bye. Take care, everyone, and so long.
We have to go. Bye bye bye.